Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. All the songs were wonderful. Caleb, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. The words were very powerful of what we sang. And the last one, I would love for us to have that song on the 6th. I think it's beautiful melody, and the words are oh so powerful, and I appreciate it. Our scripture today, if you have your Bibles, and it should be up here as well, is coming from Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. Hear the word of the Lord. The apostles were brought before the council, where the high priest confronted them. In no uncertain terms, we demand that you not teach in this name. And look at you. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God has exalted Jesus to his right side as leader and savior so that he could enable Israel to change its heart and life and to find forgiveness for sins. We are witnesses of such things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. The last verse picks up where we left off last week about the Holy Spirit and holiness, and that we see God if we choose to be holy and to obey him. And here it is again, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. And so today, the title of this message is Leaving a Legacy. That's what we're going to look at through the context of this scripture. And basically what it is asking is, what are you going to do with your dash, both you personally and collectively? Because God deals with his people as a whole. Yes, individually it is important, but it's always about the community as a whole. And we don't realize that our decisions or the lack thereof has an effect for generations to come. And that each generation reaps what the other generation left behind. And so it is something to be intentional about and something to be mindful of and prayerful of. And so I'm going to begin with, how many of you have ever noticed what is written on tombstones? Now, there are some people that actually like to go and stomp around in cemeteries and look at dates and names because they're gathering family history and stuff. I've not ever done that. But there are some sayings on tombstones that I thought were a little humorous and some eye-opening. And I'll begin with one in the state of Nevada that read, "Here lays Butch. We planted him raw. He was quick on the trigger, but slow on the draw." And then in the state of Georgia, one that said, "I told you I was sick." Talk about getting the last word. Then one in Maryland that says, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." Oh, yeah. And then two that were worth noting in South Carolina. One says, "He fought a good fight, but his knife was dull." And then the other one says, "Where she is better than where she was." But then there was one that was very hitting close to home, and that was in England. And it said, "Dead at 30, buried at 60. Yeah, yeah, that does. That hits home. Tombstones reveal a truth that we all must face, like it or not. The truth is that all of us will leave some kind of legacy. When we die, we will leave some kind of lasting mark which will reflect what you did with your time here upon this earth. And this comes as a sobering truth to many, perhaps for you as well. Because if you look at your neighborhood, look at your workplace and your community, you will find that there are those who are literally fulfilling what was on that tombstone in England, that they are merely existing in life. that they've really basically already died. They're just waiting to be buried. Their life is without meaning and purpose and direction. There is no intentionality, no awareness. They simply live from paycheck to paycheck, Friday to Friday, vacation to vacation, without even knowing what their purpose and value and worth is. Do you realize, church, that you were created for a purpose and that God has a plan? And that if you belong to Christ, you are to live intentionally with Him and for Him and not unto yourself. And the Apostle Paul would describe these persons as the living dead. And the legacy that they would leave behind is sad because of the talents that were wasted, the destiny that was wasted, and the life that was wasted. Dead at 30, buried at 60. And we all know, us here at Kingswood, we can identify with that living dead. We have struggled. It has been hard. It has been wearisome. Sometimes it has even felt defeating. Not realizing that God has a purpose, God has a plan. He is aware of what is going on. He is aware of your need and where you are. He knows your sorrow. He knows your heartache. He knows your fears and your anxiousness. And yet God has a plan. But we have to realize that it is never just about us individually, but what is best for the group as a whole. And we are faced with the decision of whether or not we want to leave a legacy behind that is sad of wasted of talent, destiny, time, money, and life. Or do we want to leave a legacy that has the potential to give God the glory and to affect people for many generations to come? In fact, the potential to affect many people for generations to come. And so we at Kingswood, we can go along with the first choice and choose to be sad and base our decisions on fear and remain turned inward. Or we can go along with the second choice, which brings God's glory, that requires trust and faith, because there is risk, and it requires us to be obedient in the midst of it all, even though we don't know all of the steps. But I'm reminded that Abraham didn't know all the steps either when he was called out of the land of Chaldean and asked to move forward towards the land of promise. And if you'll remember in the New Testament, the disciples gathered in the upper room. They were given their final instruction to wait there for the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them that I'm sending the Holy Spirit, but he gave them a call, which is that you are to be a witness not only here in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and the outer ends of this earth. And they had been together for 3+ years. Don't you think they were a little sad and worrisome and grievousome at the thought of being scattered abroad in those areas that Jesus had called them to? In fact, they stuck their feet in the ground, and you probably could see the marks in the ground of where they were being dragged along, and along comes persecution, and the church grew. I don't think I want to stick my feet in the sand and suffer the persecution. I would rather hear from God and to walk in His obedience. So let me ask you a pointed question. What will be said about you and your life when it ends? And have you given it any thought? What will be said about you at your funeral? Or maybe I should ask the question, what do you want to do with your dash? And what I mean by that, the dash is, on the tombstone, you have the day you're born and the day that you die, and there's a dash in between, right? What are you going to do with that dash? And the younger you are, the least likely you're even going to give that a second thought. But yet none of us are promised tomorrow. And the older you get, the little bit more aware you do become of it, and you begin to evaluate those priorities. Maybe you want to be remembered as a nice person. That's a good thing, isn't it? Or to be remembered for being successful, or to be remembered for being a good parent or a grandparent or a sibling or a great spouse. And our culture certainly has no problem with those type of legacies. Those can all be good things. However, do we live our life according to this world and the culture? No. Why? Because we belong to God. And our faith calls us to be more than just nice, more than good, more than successful. That we are to be worthy stewards with all that God has given us, all the qualities, all the gifts, that we are called to more. The sad thing is unfortunately, when you mention more to people, especially people who are ruled by our culture, more seems to be more pleasure, more position, more power, more prestige, more control. But in reality, the more of those things actually leads to less, and unfortunately, it leaves you empty. Because God creates us for community, for the kingdom of God, and for God. His desire is to have a relationship with us, and if we belong to Him, we're not going to be fulfilled and living to the fullest that He created us to be unless we discover what that is and walk in obedience to it. Amen? So we don't belong to ourselves, and we don't belong to this world. We're only here for a short time. So what are we going to do with our dash? People who live empty, aimless lives, here are some examples that it doesn't work, that it isn't about things and money. Here are some examples to prove my point. In 1923, 8 of the world's most successful financiers sat down in a business meeting. Present at that table was the president of the largest independent steel company, the president of the largest utility company, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, a member of the president of the United States cabinet, the greatest bear on Wall Street, the president of the Bank of International Settlements, and the head of the world's greatest monopoly. That was who was at this table. And these men controlled more wealth than what was in the U.S. Treasury at the time. And newspapers and magazines printed their success stories and urged the youth of the nation to follow their example, saying, "This is success. This is what it's all about. This is it. Follow the example." 25 years later, which would be about 1950, this is what happened to these 8 men. The president of the steel company, who was Charles Schwab, lived on borrowed money for 5 years before he died bankrupt. The president of the great utility empire, Samuel Insull, fled the country in disgrace to avoid prosecution. The president of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Whitney, was sentenced to Sing Sing prison for larceny. The member of the United States President Cabinet, Albert Fall, was pardoned from prison so that he could die at home. The great bear on Wall Street, Jesse Livermore, died by suicide. The president of the International Bank, Leon Frazier, died by suicide. And the head of the greatest monopoly in the world, Ivar Kruger, died by suicide. Now, that was just 25 years later. Do you think it pays off to be intentional about a legacy and what God has for you? And all of these men learned well the art of money-making and the art of being successful according to world standards, but not a single one of them ever really learned how to live. And maybe you have discovered yourself, maybe you have discovered that not all things that you consider to be worthwhile are now not so much worthwhile anymore. And that tends to happen the older you get as well, by the way. And maybe you realize that that so-called success that you have been searching for and longing for, that American dream, that pie in the sky, maybe it's not as great as what it's cracked up to be. And maybe you have found yourself behind a desk at work, feeling empty and lonely and worthless, asking yourself, is this all there is to life? There's surely got to be more. Maybe you have been lying awake at night saying, there's got to be something deeper, there's got to be something more, there's got to be something beyond this world. And I know that when I was doing children's ministry, and believe you me, it was very fruitful. It was going great. I loved it. I was good at it. I was happy as a clam, very content. Until one day I looked out the window and found my heart longing. God, is there more? There's got to be more. Shouldn't ask that question. Then I was called into ministry. Do you see? God is the one that moves upon our hearts to begin to ask these questions in the first place. And then again, I was saying the same thing. Are we just playing church, God? Are we not living on the cutting edge? Man, the harvest is ripe. We sang about that. But I really don't see ourselves being involved in anything except for being comfortable Sunday after Sunday. God, there's got to be more. I asked that question again, and look what happened. And maybe the good life and the evaporating fun of party and play is just not cutting it anymore. It's not for me. And again, the older you get, you begin to ask those questions. Young people learn from it. Getting old is not for sissies. And all of you that laugh know that, don't you? Yeah. Could it be that your life has become meaningless and empty and you desire something more? I know I have. And if this is true, then maybe you're ready now to move from being successful, to move from being in control, to move from being comfortable, and moving towards being significant and of worth and of value and living the life that God has called you to live. Amen? God doesn't retire. You can be 9 or 99. God doesn't retire, and He intends for you to live life to the fullest, regardless of where you are. And I believe that Kingswood will make a significant impact in the city of Amarillo, in our district, in this conference, and beyond. And we have the opportunity to set the bar really high when it comes to dealing with Kingswood's dash. Our leaving a kingdom of God's legacy is one big, wild, audacious goal. And if you were to take big, wild, audacious goal and put it vertically and use the first letter of each of those words, it would spell an acronym called BWAG. It's one big BWAG. And believe you me, it requires faith and trust in God in all things, even the things that seem impossible. But I want you to know that God is a God that takes care of details, and He is taking care of all those what ifs and questions that you are wondering about at this time. The hard part is being patient and waiting on His timing. Because believe you me, there were times I wanted to get ahead of God because I don't like the uncomfortableness. It has been hard watching you grieve, and my heart has grieved with you. And if you'll hang in there, you're going to hear all the details and the ins and the outs come the 6th. I have laughed at Wanda every time she's come to me and asked me a zillion questions. I know, I've got to wait until October the 6th. Believe you me, Wanda, I want to know. But there's so many moving parts, and we have to wait on the timing of God. And if you remember, King Saul did not wait on Samuel. He did not wait on the timing of God. He took matters into his own hands, and look what happened to Saul. And I don't want the Holy Spirit to be yanked from me. I want to wait upon God. Amen. Peter and the other apostles made this significant move. In our scripture lesson, we find Peter and the rest of the apostles taking a courageous stand for Christ. And we sang about that in the other song that we sang. I guess it was the first one, Caleb. And that was very fitting. They were told repeatedly by the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, "You stop preaching this good news. Just stop it now. Because it's out of our control and you don't need to be doing that. And if you don't stop it, you're going to suffer." But the apostles were not intimidated by it at all. And they were so compelled and consumed by the power and the purpose of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ that they considered it a privilege to be able to suffer for Christ. A privilege to be able to serve. A privilege to be able to be on the cutting edge of what God has called us to do. And they were determined to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ until their dying day. But they wouldn't have been able to do it if they hadn't have waited for the Holy Spirit to empower them to do it. Because if you remember, Peter and the apostles weren't always that way. They weren't always living the life of significance. If you will rewind and go back to the beginning in the Gospel of Mark, you will read where Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And they were very successful in their profession because Mark records that James and John had hired servants. Life was good. Their fishing company was growing. They were happy. They were comfortable. Life was great. And yet here comes Jesus and he begins to mess with their business. How many of you know that? I don't like Jesus messing with my business. I'm happy the way I am. And Jesus comes along and he says, drop your nets. You were made for more than this. There is a bigger enterprise to be a part of than fishing for fish. I'm going to make you fisher of people. Follow me and you will be a part of the divine enterprise, which is bigger than anything you can imagine. You're going to help me transform this world. Wow. What a mission. Transform this world? Do you think they had all the ducks in the row and they knew in advance everything that was going to happen? No, they didn't. The call was so powerful and potent, though, that Peter and the other disciples walked away from their thriving business and their comfortable lifestyle in order to follow Jesus. And they left the ordinary in order to do the extraordinary, and they said goodbye to mediocrity to say hello to God's mission. They could not resist the pull of the ultimate meaning of purpose and value and adventure. And it's scary. Yes, it's a scary thing. But they were willing to take that leap of faith in order to be more than just average. More than living the average life and achieving the average goals or achieving nothing at all. If you don't have the goals and the plan, you're never going anywhere. And so in our text today, we find Peter and the apostles boldly living out the adventure that Jesus Christ had them on. And that is exactly what is before us today at Kingswood. Are you ready to leave behind the less than average, meaningless life of just being mediocre and going along, being comfortable until the day you die? Or do you want to be on top of things and follow where Jesus Christ is leading us? It's an extraordinary adventure if we'll simply trust him. Jesus walks on the shores of our lives, just as he did for the disciples. And he is offering us an opportunity that seems beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. Just as he called the disciples, he is calling each one of us individually and collectively. And he says, you want an adventure? Follow me. You want a challenge? Follow me. You want excitement? Follow me. You want to fulfill your destiny? Follow me. You want to experience transformation in your life and you want others to experience that as well? Follow me. And it sounds good, but why are so many so reluctant and so frightened to follow that call? Because you see, there's a difference. There are those who simply want to be saved by Jesus Christ to obtain their fire insurance so that they'll make it to heaven and not burn in hell, and that's all they care about, okay? And there's a difference between that and being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I talked to you about that last week. It requires us to be exclusively belonging to God. That means that we are committed, we are sold out for Christ, discovering that it requires a very scary four-letter word, and that four-letter word is spelled R-I-S-K, and it is pronounced risk. And the way of Jesus Christ is always the way of risk. The life of a Christian is the way of risk. And one of the things that we must understand is Jesus is not looking for us to play it safe. And he questions us when all we pray for is comfort, ease, and security. And if you are looking for comfort and ease and security in things and circumstance and other people, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because Jesus Christ is supposed to be that comfort. He is supposed to be that security. He is supposed to be our provider. So why do we fool ourselves into believing that when we become a Christian, all of a sudden life is just going to be easier? What is is that idea in the gospel anywhere? Do we see where God takes retirement? I don't think so. No. And it says that we're only here for a while. Our destination is forever and eternity with him. So are we preparing ourselves for that? We read about a Savior who says, sell all that you have and follow me. Drop your nets and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Drop what you consider precious and that this is all I know, God. What do you mean you want me to change? What do you mean you want me to move? And Jesus says, let go of it as become an idol and follow me. And one of the risks that we must take in order to follow Jesus is we have to do what Simon and Andrew and James and John did, and that was they had to change their priorities. We must come to the place and the moment of truth where we confront the sin in our life that keeps us from walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. And we have to look deep in our hearts and be honest with ourselves of what is keeping us from not loving other things and other places more than loving God. And we take that idol and we put it on the altar and we pray, Lord, do with it what you will, because I desire your love, your plan, your ministry, and your way in my life first. That kind of sacrifice is very difficult for us because many have the attitude of, well, yes, Lord, I want you to save me from my sins, but don't get in my business. I don't want to give my life completely over to you. I want to stay in control. And yes, Lord, I want to be with you one day in that everlasting kingdom, but do not ask me to build your kingdom here upon this earth. Never mind the fact that once a month you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yes, Lord, I want to receive your unconditional love, but please don't ask me to share that unconditional love with others. During the Revolutionary War, when we were trying to become the United States, George Washington had many soldiers who volunteered to fight during the summer months. When winter approached, though, the rations were short and the blankets were scarce, and so those soldiers began to slip away one by one and to remove themselves from fighting the war and returning to their homes of warmth and comfort. And that's what we do when the going gets tough, is we want to look for that place of comfort. We want to stay right where we are. And after experiencing that, General George Washington publicly declared that he could not win this Revolutionary War with summer soldiers. If we're just sitting around being summer Christians, then things are not going to get done. And if we choose a life of comfort and having things our way, barriers are not going to be removed and people are not going to hear the gospel and lives are not going to be changed because it happens in and through us. It's not just some magical thing that falls out of the sky. God is counting on us. And it's important, yes, to hide in the presence of God, to revel in being in his presence, to have those time of rest and filling up. But God desires us to move beyond where we are. We cannot be comfortable, and God needs us to leap out of our comfort zones, take a risk, make the sacrifice, and move to the heartbeat of the gospel. And in short, we need to let go of our fears and live dangerously in the hands of God. And it is not easy, because when we open ourselves up to love other people and to enter into different situations and new situations, we run the risk of being hurt. And we don't like that. It scares us. But God never promised us that we would not be hurt. And when we stand for Christ and we choose to give our gifts and let him use our gifts in us to accomplish his purposes, we run the risk of failure. But the truth is you're not failing if you're really doing this for God. It's like the parable of the talents. You're given these talents. You're given these gifts. Are you going to bury them in the sand, or are you going to take them and use them? Because the failure is to bury it in the sand and to do nothing with it. Greater the risk, greater the reward. The bigger the challenge, the more exciting the adventure is. And the more we lose ourselves for the sake of the gospel, the more we're going to find ourselves, because that is exactly what Jesus meant in Matthew 10:39 when he said that those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And when we lose ourselves and risk ourselves and give freely of ourselves, we are going to discover, oh my goodness, this is beyond my wildest dream. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I see you moving, God. And there is such great peace and joy, but you have to be willing to trust him to take the steps to get there to that destination in the first place. And that's the hard part. But he has to know that we have faith enough to believe in him to take those steps as he reveals to us what we're supposed to do. And believe you me, this hadn't been easy. It has been step one, step two, and it was only when the steps were taken that we began to know what was going to take place. We didn't have all the ducks in the row either. But we had to trust the leading of God. And many of us have a problem, and it's called an attitude problem, because sometimes our desirable attitudes and our ability to be a disciple of Christ isn't what it should be, and we complain. And remember, I had a sermon about not complaining, because when we complain, we're complaining against God. We complain about our schedules being busy. We moan about being tired and stretched too thin. We don't participate in the events that take place in the church, the few events that we're even able to have, because we're too busy for doing the things that we have planned to do. And we're good at making excuses. However, there is one thing that I have learned. We definitely make time for what we believe to be important. We do exactly what we want to do. For instance, I don't think there's anybody here today that will say, well, I just don't have time to eat today. No, you're going to eat, right? Because you're hungry. All right? And I don't think there's anybody here today that's going to say, I'm too tired. I can't pay my bills. You know you're going to pay your bills because you want to keep the lights on, right? And you're not ever going to hear a mother say, well, my baby, they're crying, they're hungry, but I'm just too tired to feed them today. We do exactly what's important to us. We do exactly what we value and that we deem as important. Yet when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, we make every excuse in the world why we don't need to do it. And we profess with our mouth that we exclusively belong to you, Christ, but we're not willing to be obedient to what he has called us to do. So what are you doing with your life today and with the gifts that God has given you? Are you preparing yourself spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally? Are you ready to meet the next opportunity? Are you ready to meet your Savior? Are you prepared? Are you even aware? Are you simply just drifting through life, meaningless, living from paycheck to paycheck, weekend to weekend? Because you were created for so much more. Are you fully motivated to serve God in every area of your life? So I want you to consider what God has done in your life. Consider how he has blessed you. Consider your gifts. Consider your talents. And make it a matter of prayer. And I would hope that after that prayer, you are able to say, Lord, you can count on me. Put me to work. I'll do my best for you, regardless of where it is and who it's with. I love you enough to trust you. And yes, I want to be a part of leaving this legacy. Do you hear this word of God, church? Do you hear the word of God? And it isn't easy. It hurts. It's scary. It wasn't entered into lightly. Believe you me, it was entered into with fear and trembling and much prayer and discussion and research. And so I'm asking you to come along with us on this journey and to trust God. Amen? Okay. If the musicians will please come forward, we're going to sing. I want you to know that God knows where you are. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're thinking. I pray all the time for God to give each one of us the grace and the peace of knowing that he is in control and to trust that he has great things in store for us if we will simply be willing to die to self and to enter in to this new faith journey. The kneeling rails are open and you're welcome to come and pray while we stand and sing.
intention. Speak with words of grace. Judge through eyes of mercy. I long to choose with holy wisdom. Walk down paths of peace. Taking love to every soul in need. I'm a servant who believed that the world could still be changed by just one lie. I want to leave a legacy. The years from now they'll see that I lived only for the cause of Christ. If I can clearly see tomorrow, humble prayer would be that every heart would beat with true faith. If I could somehow shape the future, I would hope and pray I touch lives by the way I live today. I want to leave a legacy of a servant who believes the world could still be changed by just one life. I want to leave a legacy. Years from now they'll see that I lived only for the cause of Christ. I hope to make a difference by living day to day. Here's a reflection of God. I want to leave a legacy of a servant who believed that the world could still be changed by just one life. I want to leave a legacy. Years from now they'll see that I lived only for the cause of Christ. That I lived only for the cause of Christ.
Before I dismiss you, I want you to know something. Y'all are precious in every way, and I respect each of you highly because you are taking this like troopers, as difficult as it is. And I want to thank you for that. And I thank the leadership for their willingness to teach these sessions. It wasn't easy, and thank you. Y'all have done an excellent job. This is out of my element. I've never done this before. I like for my ducks to all be in a row. I like for things to be planned, and I love being in control. This hasn't been easy. Thank you, Tom. I'm scared to death. I'm telling you, I'm scared. But I know that every time I take a step of obedience, God meets me there. He meets me there. He meets me there. And I know what it's like to be out of God's will, and I don't want to be there. I respect the Holy Spirit very, very much, and I want to be in His will. So continue to be in prayer. It isn't easy, but with God's help, we're going to do it together, okay? And I just know that we serve a good God, and He's got good things in store for us. He's not here to just drop the other shoe and just give us a swift kick in the pants. We've got to be willing to trust Him, okay? So go forth knowing that you have a life to live. You have much to offer. God has a plan. Join Him with it. Amen? I love you guys, and thank you for your patience, and thank you for your love.
Stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.